You may just remain standing. If you will, turn in your Bible, Malachi chapter number 2, that last verse of Malachi chapter number 2, and then the first verse of Malachi chapter number 3. Ask you to bear with me this morning. Not only my sinus is running a little bit this morning, but I tell you, after those last two songs, I'm telling you, I get excited thinking about heaven. As they're singing that, my heart's already gone. Get excited thinking about the Lord's coming. Amen. And I know they're saying, boy, it looks like everything's getting lined up right for the Antichrist to come. But I believe things are lined up right for Christ to come. Amen. And I'm not looking for the anti. I'm looking for the real. Amen. And I believe He is coming. I do believe that. Amen. Malachi chapter number 2, verse number 17. The Scripture says, ye have wearied me. I'm sorry, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. Jump down to verse number 7 with me, if you will. This will be our text for today. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone astray from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Brother Gary Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, our heart this morning says, even so come.
Yes, Lord, yes.
We're looking and hastening to that glorious
day. Oh, Lord.
The appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus.
Do it, Lord.
We thank you so much for your love toward us.
Yes.
The life, Lord, that you gave. And the sacrifice that you made that we might be saved, we might be the children of God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace, the truth, and the Word of God that made us free. And I pray now that you have blessed the pastor this morning.
Help us, Lord.
And Lord, to preach that word to us.
Yes, Lord, help us.
Spirit of God.
Please do it, Lord.
I ask you, Lord, to give us heart to receive.
Yes.
You have for us today. Revive us.
Oh, yes, God.
Lord, to reach out unto thee that we might, Lord, experience the goodness and grace of God in our heart in worship and true praise.
Yes.
And to thee this morning. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all that's done to help those that are sick.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, for those this morning that are sick and lost.
Oh, yes, God.
That you might save them for your marvelous grace.
Do it, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you for saying you can be seated. We're studying now the last major section of the book of Malachi. I mentioned there's two primary sections. Chapters 1 and 2 dealing with the Lord's complaint. Chapters number 3 and 4 dealing with the Lord's coming. And we're in that section now. Chapter 3 with that section on the Lord's coming. We've spent three previous messages already looking at verses 1 through 6 primarily. We dealt for a while on verse number 1 and then went on down from verse 1 through verse number 6. And I want you to remember that I mentioned that Malachi, when he gave this message concerning the coming of the Lord, he mentions that he's going to come for two primary purposes. When he comes, he's going to come to deal with in judgment with sinners. And he's going to come, secondly, to deal in justice with the saints. And I said that this dealing in judgment with sinners is in chapter number 1, and chapter number 3, and verse number 1 through verse number 15. And then the latter part, the dealing in justice with the saints, is from verse number 16 of chapter 3 on down through verse number 6, the end of chapter number 4. Now, I also mentioned to you that Christ's coming was in two parts. He came first as a sacrificial lamb. He's coming secondly as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. To put down all rebellion. Amen. And to reign for 1,000 years from the throne of David. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that and trust that you are as well. We sang that song about His kingdom's sure increase and His coming, Prince of peace. Amen. And I'm glad Jesus is coming. And as Brother Hall said, my heart is saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, when Malachi prophesied about the upcoming coming and appearing of the Lord, he saw that from one to the other so quickly. I mentioned that he did not see the valley in between the two mountain peaks, and he did not see the span of time between. But he jumps from the Messiah's coming to the people with John the Baptist, but he also jumps from there to his coming in judgment, which will be his second coming. Amen. And the nation of Israel had been calling out to God. I've said this over and over. They've been calling out to God throughout these verses about where is the God of judgment? Why doesn't God judge the wicked? Boy, I'm telling you, we look around us today and say the same thing. Amen. You see all the wickedness that's going on and evil and ungodliness and depravity. I'm telling you, every time I think man has reached the depth of depravity, I hear something that they've done that's even worse than they had done before. Amen. And we say, why does God not send judgment? Well, God said, I am going to send judgment. He is going to come and He is going to judge. Amen. And so He deals with this. He's going to come to deal in judgment with the sinners. He's going to start with His own people. That's where He always starts, by the way. Amen. Judgment must begin at the house of God. In chapter number 3, we see three different areas of His judgment directed at sinners in three distinct parts. First of all, He's going to deal with them about their ungodly actions. And I mentioned that from verse 1 through verse 6. And we preached about that a little bit the last few days or last few weeks. Today we're going to look at He's going to deal with them about their ungodly attitudes. And then later we'll look at the fact that He's going to deal with the ungodly, with their ungodly arguments. Amen. And I'm amazed that men will argue in the face of God. They'll argue with God knowing that He knows all, knowing that He's always right. Amen. And they'll argue. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look at this. We looked at the first section last week and the week before. We're going to look at this second message now, if we can, and our second point. And this is about their ungodly attitudes. There's two areas here that he deals with. It's actually from verse number 7 down through verse number 12 is what I've called him dealing with their ungodly attitudes. There's two attitudes. I'm going to preach on the first one this morning, and that is their attitude toward meandering or wandering off, straying off the path that God has for them to be on. He's going to deal with them about their attitude toward meandering. And then, Lord willing, tonight we'll come back and look at verse 8 through 12 and where He's got about their attitude about money. Amen. And we'll say something about that tonight, Lord willing. But this attitude about meandering, verse number 7 deals with this specifically. And I don't know if your Bible has the marks where the paragraphs are, but verse 7 is a paragraph all its own. He said, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone astray from mine ordinances. You have gone astray. You have wandered off. You have drifted away. You have strayed from my ordinances, he says. All right. He goes on, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? You see their attitude in their statement? They're saying, where have we gone wrong? Where have we got off the trail? Where have we missed it? We're right on track. We're right where we're supposed to be. Now, God has just told them in the previous verse, verse number 6, one of the greatest verses in all of Scripture, one of the greatest powerful verses that we can cling to, for I am the Lord, I change not. He's just declared His unchangeableness. He said, I have never changed. He says, I'm right where I have always been. He said, the problem I've got with you is that you never change from changing. Amen. You're given to change. The Bible talks about not meddling with them that are given to change. You know, back about, 6 years ago, when they were running for president, they ran for about 2 years. Amen. And I guess they'll get cranked up to do that again next time. But when they were having the different presidential running, the big thing was about change, change, change. How we need change. And God said, I'm upset with you because you won't stay on the path. I'm upset with you because you always want change and you want to keep moving things. Amen. Keep moving the standards. Keep moving things away and letting down the hedge where God said that it's supposed to be. They keep meddling with the landmarks. Amen. Amen. And so God says to them that they have moved out of the way. They are continually going away from Him. Amen. And so He calls for them to return. Amen. I heard a story one time about this man and his wife riding down the road in his pickup truck. He's right behind the wheel. She's over there against the door, far as she could get against the door. She looked over at him. She said, "Honey, you remember when we used to sit right side by side and you had your arm around me and we enjoyed that?" He said, "I sure do." And he said, "But I ain't moved." Amen. We're living in a day when God wants to have fellowship with His people, but they have moved. I want to tell you, He's not moved. Amen. And I'm glad He's not moved. These people, talk about the people of God, were very far from God, and yet they deny any need to return. Amen. They callously declare that they do not need to return at all. God warns them that they have not only been going away from Him all their life, but they've been going away from Him since their father's day. Amen. He said, "You've moved a long way from me, and you're so far from me that you don't even recognize that you are away from me." They've been going away from Him since their days of their fathers, so their fathers went away, and they've moved on another step further on down the road. So I'm simply saying they are very far from God. Amen. One of the problems in America today, America was founded as a God-fearing nation. Amen. America was founded by men who, whether or not they were Christians, were God-fearing men. Amen. Men like Benjamin Franklin never made a profession of faith, as far as I know. But Benjamin Franklin was a wise man in the fact that he knew that if God knows when the sparrow falls, he said, then a nation cannot rise without God's help. Amen. Amen. And Benjamin Franklin had a fear of God and a knowledge of God. And men such as that established our nation to be the nation that it is, had a fear of God. And our nation was founded and started as a God-fearing and God-honoring nation. But our fathers let her slip, and their sons let her slip further, and the children are letting it slip further. And this generation we're living in is a long way from where they ought to be. Amen. That's true all around us. Sinners are so very far from God, but if you knock on their door, they'll tell you they're right where they need to be. Amen. They see no need to turn around. They have an attitude that declares that their sins are not their own fault. Amen. Amen. You know, and we could lamb blast this about the political side of it, but you know the problem we're in, although we've got a man in office that's been there 6 years, and that's not his fault. It's a man that's in there 4 years before him. Amen. You know, when children get caught up in all kinds of trouble, it's not their fault. It's because they had problems in their parents. Amen. It's because they had problems in their childhood. And so they've always got something they can blame it on, something that they can turn to. And some of them even say that the fault lies in God. They said, "I'm like this because God made me this way." God said, "I'm sick of your attitude." Amen. And God was dealing with them about their attitude about wandering away from God. Now, I preached down this line sometime back in chapter 2. The idea was where they was covering up for their loved ones. But can I tell you, some people, they're not only covering up for others, they're covering up for themselves. Amen. And that's the attitude these people had that God's dealing with. He said, "You're going away from mine ordinances." You see that in verse 7? "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances." You see the picture of that verse. God is not addressing people that have never known God. God is not addressing people that never heard the Word of God. He's addressing people that have known God and have known God's Word. Amen. But they've chosen to go another way. That's what's called apostasy, by the way. Amen. They have known the truth, and yet they shut their ears to the truth, and they go a different way. God warns these people that have known the truth and gone a different way that they are headed in the wrong direction, and yet they deny any wrong on their part. They've turned away from the truth. Now, this is specifically spoken of the Jews, their religious leaders, the Levitical priests, but we can easily see that it fits in our day. Amen. You see, God's such a good God that He has clearly marked the path that is best for us. He gave us these thou shalts and these thou shalt nots, not so He could hedge us in, so to speak, but so He could protect us and so that we'd be better off. Amen. He never did anything to hinder us, but to keep us out of trouble. That's what He gave us those rules for. Amen. And He gave us His Word that it might help us and that it might protect us. But how often people wander off the clearly marked path. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 5, verse number 21 through 23 says this, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Now he's dealing with this fact that men are on a path, and he starts off saying God observes the path they're on. God knows where they're going. I'm amazed today, by the way, I'll just plug this. I'm amazed at how people, when they wander off the path, they'll like to brag about it on Facebook. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. Now, I don't have Facebook. I don't have the time for it, but I know people that do. And every once in a while, my wife says, "You need to see this." And I do need to see it, but I hate that I had to see it. Amen. It's a shame that people wander off the path and then put it on a billboard for all the world to see. Amen. But here's what I was going to say about it. Whether or not we see it, God sees it. God said, "I'm observing the path that men goes. The ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. And He pondereth all their goings." God's watching and God's looking at what you're doing. And He's thinking about what you're doing. Now here's what He said about it. He said, what they're doing, their iniquities are going to take them. Their iniquities are going to bind them. They're going to be holding with the cords of His sins. And He said He'll die without instruction because in the greatness of His folly, He wanders astray. What that idea is that in his foolishness, he wanders away from God. Amen. God says that the man is responsible. That man is responsible for the direction in which he's headed. And he says that he is foolish for going that way to start with. Amen. Amen. Well, I can say a lot of things there. I better leave it alone. He says this. By the way, he says a fool is not willing to listen to instruction. Amen. In verse number 23, he shall die without instruction. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Fools will not hear, but a wise man will hear and heed instruction. Amen. See, but here's where I want. I'm not just trying to get you to see the foolishness of man, but I want you to see the goodness of God. Here's God standing and watching. But God's not just watching. He is warning. He's saying, whoa. He's saying, hold on, slack up, slow down, turn around. That's what he's saying. Amen. I'm amazed, he says here in verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone from mine ordinances and have not kept them. But look at the next phrase. Return unto me. Amen. He's saying, quit running from me, turn to me. Amen. And he's trying to reach out to them. He is, more or less, he's sending a messenger to say, hold on, friend. You're headed in the wrong direction. You're headed for trouble. You need to turn around and head the other way. Amen. They said, a lady asked Billy Sunday one time why he always rubbed the cat the wrong way. He said, because the cat's turned in the wrong direction. Amen. Turn it around, it'd be all right. God's messenger is good, is gracious in that that God sends him to say, friend, you're headed in the wrong direction. Why don't you turn around? Why don't you change the direction you're going? But most people do what these people do, and they bow up in pride, and they say, how dare you declare that I'm going the wrong way? Amen. Because of pride and because of foolishness. Amen. I've got several verses here in my message today. I've got several verses I want to look at. If you want to turn to Isaiah, that'll be a good place to go. Isaiah chapter number 1. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read you some I've got jotted down. If you're turning to Isaiah chapter 1, let me read you James chapter 1 verse 6. The first part of that verse says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Amen. Drawn away. What's he drawn away from? The way of God. The path of God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Again, we've gone astray, out of our way, gone the way we want to go. Look at Isaiah chapter number 1, verse number 2, down through verse number 5. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. They have for, let's see, I've skipped my place. Seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. He says here that they have rebelled. In verse number 2, they have rebelled against me. In verse number 4, he said they have forsaken the Lord. He says in the end of verse 4, they are gone away backward. He said in verse number 5, ye will revolt more and more. I'm telling you, men sin because they want to. Amen. Amen. Now you may fall out with me about this, but I believe it's right. I believe we've got Bible to prove it. Adam started out right. Amen. I hear men say sometimes, and I may have said it, that Adam was made perfect. Now, I don't use it perfect because I think perfect actually means that you can't sin. Impeccable, that idea. Adam could sin and proved that he could, by the way. Amen. But Adam was made innocent. Amen. He did not have sin and did not understand and know what sin was. All he knew was God. He knew good. By the way, when the devil said, you need to know the knowledge of good and evil, they knew the knowledge of good. They didn't need to know the knowledge of evil. Amen. Amen. But they learned the way of evil, and the Bible said, don't not learn the way of the heathen. Amen. But here's what I started out. Adam started right. He is walking in the garden in the cool of the day with God in the Garden of Eden. Yet Adam chose to walk a different way. Adam chose to walk into sin. Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. But Adam made a choice and walked into sin with his eyes open. God offered him a covering. Adam made another choice. He accepted God's covering. Amen. He accepted it. Then along comes Cain. Cain started out right. Cain was raised in a family that knew right. It was a fallen family, but they'd had the covering of God applied. They recognized something about offerings. They recognized something about the holiness of God. They recognized something about sins. Cain started out right, went to the church house, even went to the altar, but he would not give what God required. He would not give what God asked for. He was only willing to give what he wanted to give. He wanted it his way. And so he had his own religion, and he went his own way. He started right and he did wrong. Made a choice to do wrong, by the way. And God said to him, if you'll get right, he said that sin lies at the door. But he talked about you'll be accepted if you'll only do right, if you'll do good. He said you'll be accepted. In other words, God said, I'll make you the same offer I made you, Dad. I will forgive your sin. I will cover your sin. And Cain said, no. He made a choice. You know why? Because he had his own way. In his mind, he didn't need forgiveness. Amen. I believe even after he murdered his brother, I don't believe he thought he needed forgiveness for murdering his brother. He had such an obstinate attitude. He thought all along that he was right, and he went the way he wanted to go. Amen. I'm telling you, you know why men go to hell? You know why you know why men sin? They sin because they want to. But men don't just go to hell because they sin, because every man sins and every man don't have to go to hell. By the grace of God, you can get saved and go to heaven. Amen. But I'm telling you, when God offers salvation and you say no, he is not obligated to offer a second time. He is not obligated to keep calling and keep drawing. Amen. Men go to hell because they make the wrong choice. They choose to keep going the way they're going when God speaks to them. Amen. I believe that's right. I believe that's right. Men wander away from God's Word because they want to. And then they refuse to turn from their sin because they don't want to turn from their sin. They love the sin. Here's Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this, listen here, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men, what's wrong with them? They love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Amen. God's calling, and people are refusing. People wander away, and it's the grace of God that God calls them back. It's the grace of God that God grants them an opportunity and gives them the chance to call on the Lord, and yet they sin away their day of grace. We rejoice in the fact that the Good Shepherd searches for the lost sheep. Thank God. Amen. Bring them back to the fold. I want to say this about the lost sheep. That straying sheep's got to admit they're out of the fold because of their own foolish decisions. Amen. Most sheep, from what I have read, and I could be wrong that there may be some occasions of this, instances, but from what I've read, most, the majority of sheep are not born on cliffs and craggy rocky mountainsides, but most sheep are born down in the safety of the fold. If it's not a man-made fold, it is at least some safe place that the mother sheep has prepared and the other sheep have prepared that they can have a safe place to have that little sheep. But that little sheep, when it winds up on the rocks, has got to admit they were not born there. They walked there. They went there on their own volition. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, this crowd that runs around saying, I can't help what I am. I'm an alcoholic because I was born this way. I'm a pervert because I was born this way. I'm a woman chaser. I'm a man chaser because I was born this way. Got to admit, they were not born that way. Amen. Amen. They were not born that way. They walked that way because that's the way they wanted to go. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to get off on that, but that's right. Amen. Amen. Most of the time, they wander away from that good pasture land because they think the grass is greener on the other side. That's right. Amen. They wander off. Today, we're in trouble and we're in danger because of the path that we've chosen. We've got to admit that. Amen. It's time to admit that the shepherd is calling for you. Amen. Time to admit that the shepherd is searching for you. Amen. God said, return unto me. Amen. Malachi's remark to them is not just they've meandered off the trail, but that God is calling, return, return, calling unto you. Amen. Amen. Hear the tender shepherd calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. What a merciful God we have. Amen. Amen. That He would still call towards those who have strayed away from His Word. That He'd still look towards those who have turned their back and walked away from Him. That He'd still reach towards those that have wandered away from Him on their own volition and of their own will. That's wondrous mercy. Amen. And amen. Amen. By the way, that's not something new about our God. That's not something He started in the New Testament. He was doing it all through the Bible. I've got verse after verse. I'm going to read you some of them. Job chapter number 36 and verse 10. He said, He openeth also their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. That's God. God said, come to me. Isaiah chapter 44 verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sin. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 55 verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Praise God. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 3, by the way, I've got four verses here out of the book of Jeremiah on this point. I think I could have found at least a dozen verses out, just out of the book of Jeremiah. The weeping prophet, as he begged for Israel to come back to God, he said, Jeremiah 3 verse 12, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Amen. Jeremiah 3 verse 22, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 18 verse 11, now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? saith the Lord. And not that he should return from his ways and live. Amen. God's saying over and over throughout the nation of Israel, return, return. Hosea chapter number 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And one last one from Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 15. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them. So he said, all the prophets have said this, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings. And go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened to me. God said over and over, I've sent you messengers. Over and over, I've sent prophets. He's talking to the nation of Israel. How many of us sitting right here will have to say, we've heard the clarion call from God numbers of times. When we were wrong, God said, you need to get that right. You need to get that right. You need to get that right. Amen. The fact that God is still continually calling for His people to return is not only merciful, but it's also educational in the fact that it shows us that the people continually drift away from God. But it also shows us that the people can return. Amen. They can return on the response or on a response to the call of God's mercy. But these men respond, wherein shall we return? Why should we return? What do we have to return from? What are you doing telling us we've done wrong? The case here, they reply, wherein shall we return? By the way, that's the case too often, again, through the Scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they are not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Amen. I don't know the answer for everything. I understand my wife was teaching on raising children or something about teaching children this morning. I guess she got that. Well, she was talking about it yesterday and doing some study. I don't know the answer to all kinds of stuff, but I do know this. I know in my case, in my brother's case, how my dad dealt with things. And if we didn't listen the first time, you know what he did? He didn't give up. He'd come back again. And if we didn't learn the next time, you know... He didn't learn. Amen. He didn't change his ways. Amen. He just figured need to apply it a little more stiffer, a little longer. Amen. After a while, even a mule can learn. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah, and by the way, that's what God did. He said, you've judged them and they're not listening. You know what God did? God didn't say, well, I won't judge them. No, He said, I'm going to judge them again then. Well, what if they don't listen? Then I'll judge them again. He's going to keep on until they listen. That's the point. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? Here's why. They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. They hold to their lies. They have told themselves lies. I'm going to tell you, the biggest culprit in the world that keeps sinners lost is not the devil himself. It's the sinner himself. The sinner himself lies to himself. Amen. Lies to himself. He says, I'll be all right. I'll make it to the next meeting. I'll make it to the next revival. I'll make it to the next Sunday. I'll get right before it's too late. I'll burn my candle down to the end. And when it's about to flicker out, then I'll call on God. But they're lying to themselves. Some of them even lie to themselves to the point they say, I don't need to call on God. I'm all right. God will have mercy. God will have mercy. As a young man posted something on, I think it was on Facebook, wasn't it? My wife saw this and read it to me. I didn't see it. A young man that I used to pastor him. His dad's a pastor in North Carolina. The young man's gone off to college now. By the way, before he went, he got to listen to contemporary music, and we warned him. We warned him that contemporary music feeds sodomy. I'm telling you, it's what it does. It feeds sodomy. It's of the devil. Amen. It's got a demonic spirit and it feeds that stuff. And you read their life, you'll find out almost all of them have dabbled in it or have approved of it. Amen. And we said, and a young man in vision told this pastor, he said, you need to talk to your son, get him off of that mess. It's called, quote unquote, contemporary Christian music. And he said, you need to get him off of that. It's going to lead to sodomy. And the pastor mocked him and said, are you calling my son a sodomite? I hope my son don't become a sodomite. But he posted on Facebook this week and he said, took the scripture where it said, love one another. And then it said, what if they're an immigrant? Or what if they're gay? Or what if they're, I forget, he named two or three things. I said to my wife, what if they're poor? That was one of them. What if they're an immigrant? What if they're gay? What if they're poor? I said, the problem about the gay, it's sin. It's sin. A man might not help that he is born in Mexico. A man might not help that he is born into poverty. Amen. But a man can help what he does with his life. And being gay, you're not born into sodomy. Amen. God made them male and God made them female. And he didn't get them switched up. Amen. Amen. I don't mean to get up on it, but it's right. I'm telling you, it's right. We're living today when they're approving of it all. And you know, they're trying to appease them and approve of them. Amen. And by the way, they're condemning Christians for it. Did you hear just this week, they fired that fire chief? Amen. When they first told him the fire chief got fired, I said, oh my. You know what he got fired for? I forget where he's at, but he got fired for making a comment in a book addressed to men, Christian men, and he said that sodomy is a crime against nature or something along those lines, that it's sin, it's not right. And they said that because of his statements, Brother Hall, that he could not do his job as a fireman. Why don't they say that the gays can't be firemen? He's what? He's a Baptist? Praise God. Amen. Hey, but they can't say the gays can't be because that'd be discrimination. But they can say the Christians can't be firemen. Something wrong somewhere. Amen. Amen. By the way, I'm a Christian not because I was born into it, because I made a decision one day. Amen. And he's a sodomite not because he was born into it, but because he made a decision one day. But he can, listen to me, if God's still calling to him, if he is, he can turn to God and be saved before it's too late. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't mean to get fired up about that mess. Amen. Hosea chapter number 7. Here, this is scripture right here. Hosea chapter 7 verse 10. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. The pride of Israel. Romans chapter 10 verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. God said, I've stretched it out, but you're disobedient. You're gainsaying. Luke chapter number 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. These are the words of our Lord. You know this. Which killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. And ye would not. He said, I would. But you wouldn't. That's what he said. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 34. We know verse 39. Well, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 40 says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Turn back to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm hurrying. I'm winding her down. I'm not done, but I'm heading that direction. Proverbs chapter number 1. You know these verses, and I'm not going to read on down. It gets into the judgment that comes. I want to show you verse 22. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. God's asking a question. It's wisdom crying out. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I've called and ye have refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it in all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I'm going to stop there. You know it goes on. Talking about I'm going to laugh at you when your trouble comes. Because you've disregarded me. He said there's going to come a day I'm going to disregard you. But he said here, I have called. And you have refused. Amen. I have stretched out my hand and nobody, no man regarded. That's what he said. Amen. Amen. People not getting saved today. It's not because we don't have a Savior. And it's not because we don't have sinners. It's because we don't have sinners that'll turn to the Lord when He reaches to them. Amen. Why do people not turn to God? According to the Scripture, it's because they love their sin. Just as Proverbs 1:22 said, he said, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Amen. Simple ones love simplicity. Fools love folly. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
And sinners love sin. Amen. I've quoted from Dr. James Knox, his book on the Christ Honor and Commentary series, the book of Malachi. I've got an extensive quote. I want to read you. These are selected quotes from three pages, page 213 through 215 of his book. I want you to listen to this. This is scathing, but it's true. I want you to listen to it. He said, men are condemned because they choose to abide in darkness they could escape. I've spent my entire adult life dealing with people who know the gospel, many of whom claim to be saved, who live and die in bondage to sin because they love sin. When you cut through the mountain of excuses, finger pointing, and psychological rubbish, what you find is that men and women continue to smoke, drink, steal, covet, murder, lie, cheat, gossip, and ruin their lives because they love sin. Those scorners who look with contempt on all that is holy, who sit in churches and sneer at the preaching of righteousness and ridicule those who seek to live clean lives, those who walk the streets of your town and mock all that is upright, could live differently. Yet opposition to the right ways of the Lord is their delight. Fools are not genetically predisposed to live and die in the moronic patterns of behavior that have impoverished their forefathers. Listen to this. They could turn off the television, get off their front porch, learn how to read, learn how to work, learn how to pay their bills, learn how to live according to the Bible. They could. But they'd rather live and die riding the welfare train, wasting their brain with worldly entertainment, and filling their hearts with hatred for everyone who has chosen to pursue happiness. Amen. That's right. Here's I'll give you two more quotes. This is powerful. Here's what he said. Here's his remedy, I think. He said, number one, fire your shrink. Stop listening to your enablers. Get some friends who are subject to the Lord Jesus. Leave that carnal social club of a church with a pastor who has jelly where his spine should be. Quit attending meetings where people who choose to be losers sit and complain about how they cannot help it. Put all the imbecile television and radio counselors who never name the name of Christ on a barge and set them adrift. Burn your chicken soup books and get a Bible. I like that. Amen. I like it. Amen. Burn your chicken soup books and get a Bible. Those of you who don't know what it is, I'll tell you after service. And listen, repent of thinking that 40 days of purpose is a substitute for giving every moment of every day for the one who shed his blood for you. Admit that it is ridiculous to think that wearing a bracelet is going to make you do what Jesus did if you don't even know what his word says. And if you have no willingness to let him change what you wear, where you go, and who you spend time with. And he has this in all capital letters. The problem is not with God. The problem is with you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Last quote. Stop blaming the preacher for your unhappiness. Stop blaming God for your disappointments. Stop blaming Christians for the financial mess you've got yourself in. Stop blaming the government for not stealing more money from working people and giving it to you. Stop blaming your parents for being so mean to you. Stop saying it's not your fault. Stop saying you can't help it. Stop saying it's too hard. Stop saying people don't know how bad you have it. Repent!
Amen.
The problem's not with God. The problem's with you. Now, I say that again. I don't say it harsh. I don't say it mean. But we're living in a day when people have accepted this psychobabble that man is a creature of his environment. Adam was raised in a perfect environment and still fell in sin. Adam never had friends that could lead him in the wrong direction. The person he walked with was perfect, sinless. And yet Adam still chose to sin. Amen. Amen. I could go through the Bible and show you men in the Bible. Look at Joseph. Look at Joseph's life. Joseph was raised in a home where a man had multiple wives. He had brothers and stepbrothers, half-brothers. I mean, he had a mess. He had incest going on in his family. He had a sister that was a harlot, played the harlot. He had a life that was wrecked. He had a daddy that was a liar. And yet Joseph did right, even when he sold into slavery, right on through Potiphar's house, right on through the prison. Amen. Right in Pharaoh's court. Amen. Joseph did right. Amen. Amen. Well, I gotta say this. I'm not saying you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, but I am saying this. You do have some ability to make some decisions for yourself. And by the way, we have some responsibility to stand accountable for the decisions we make. Amen. Now, I'm almost done. If you recognize that you're in the hog pen of life and rebellion, you can comfort yourself that you're no dirtier than the pigs. Or you can get up and go home. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 through 20. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose. He didn't just say it. He didn't just think it. He did it. He arose and came to his father. But when he's yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Amen. I'm telling you, when you find yourself at the end, when you find yourself in a mess, acknowledge you got yourself there, but you don't have to stay there. You can turn to God. There is a Father that loves you. There is a Father that will help you. Amen. There is a Savior that can wash your sins away. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had a time in your life when you gladly said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Amen. 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 Here's what the second verse says. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." But something happened between verse 2 and 3. He's in the right path. Something happens. He's walking in the green pastures. He's beside the still waters. But something may happen that caused you to stray away from that green pasture in search for greener pastures. Something may happen because you stray away from walking beside the still waters to run after babbling brooks. Amen. But here's what verse 3 says. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." I'm telling you, if you got out of the path, we've got a God that can restore your soul. Amen. We've got a God that can put you back on the paths of righteousness if you'll just turn to Him and trust Him. I believe that. I believe God is willing to lovingly embrace straying lambs and will put them back into the safety of His paths of righteousness if they'll only return in repentance. The sad fact is, Malachi chapter 3, most people... most people say, "We'll need to return." Here's what's amazing to me. I'm almost done. I know I'm running out of steam. I'm almost done. Malachi, the people of Israel, that's not the church. The church didn't, I know, you know, if you read a lot of these Protestant commentators, they talk about the church in the Old Testament. Church not in the Old Testament. The Lord started the church in His ministry. Amen. But Israel is the people of God in the Old Testament. And it's amazing to me that at Malachi, at the end of the book, the Old Testament book, at the end of that book, the people of God were in the same state that the church of Laodicea is at the end of the book of Revelation. They wandered away from God. They're naked. They're blind. And they can't even see and know that they're naked. Amen. Amen. Here's what he said in verse number 13 of Revelation chapter 3. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." But here's what God does. This is the grace of God. He still reaches out and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Boy, it is grace if you hear Him knocking today. I'm not just talking about knocking on the door of a sinner. I'm talking about knocking on the door of the church, knocking on the door of the heart of the saint. If you hear His knock, it is grace that He ain't left you and gone on a different route. Amen. 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 He's knocking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man," isn't that what He said? "Hear my voice, open the door unto me. I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." I'm telling you, He still desires and delights in fellowship with His people. Amen. You know what we need to do? We need to return to Him. Amen. Do you need fellowship with God? Turn to Him. Let's stand all over the house. While we get a song, with heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord may be speaking to you. You'd like to come call on the Lord. I don't know what you may need. I don't know. I don't know what you may need. But I know that we're living in a day when people wander away. So easy to wander away from the paths of righteousness. It's so easy to get out of gear with God. So easy just to lose your temper. So easy just to lose your cool. Get out of the will of God. I want to ask you, has there ever been a day when you knew you was in the right path? And now you've slipped out of it. If so, return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. If there's never been a day when you're saved, there's still a Savior that bled and died that you could be saved, that you could be placed on the path of righteousness. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd take these words and this message. Lord, you'd help us see the grace of God and the goodness of God that's calling. Oh, sinner, come home. Lord, I pray you deal with sinners. I pray, dear God, you'd deal with the saints. Lord, you'd get the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, brother?
162.
While we sing, would you obey the Lord?